I remember reading in a Christian magazine a few years back. It was about a church. At the entrance of the church, they had written, "Live your life in such a way that we will not have to tell lies about you at your funeral." Isn't it a good motto to keep in our mind always, to live our life in such a way that they don't have to tell lies about us at our funeral? Last week we had, sadly, a funeral of our dear brother Ian, who was a co-founder of CFC, who was with us. For 50 years, he served the church along with Brother Zach. And it was a very painful time for us to lose him and to have his funeral and burial. That reminds me of certain verses which we will look at today. It says in Proverbs 10:7, the first part of it, Proverbs 10:7, it says, "The memory of the righteous is blessed. The memory of the righteous man is blessed." It is always there, fresh and firm in our hearts when we look at the lives of those who have gone ahead of us, those who have lived a life that was pleasing to God. And this brother Ian was one of them, a righteous, God-fearing man, a humble and affable, very easy to live with, and a man full of grace and truth and mercy and love. I have spent considerable time with him, and I was always delighted to meet him and to fellowship with him and to pray with him. And there was an age gap of 15 years between him and me, but we never felt that age gap, and he never made me feel that I am much anger to him. He always, was approachable, always made others feel welcome, and also made them feel comfortable in his presence. And this is a brother whom we greatly miss. It says in Hebrews 13:7, you can turn with me there. It speaks about the godly ones who have gone before us. It says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith." It's a very good verse to remember those who led you. It is like our parents in the church, those who minister to us the word of God, who love us, who care for us enough to exhort us, to warn us about the dangers that are there in the world and about the weakness of our flesh, how we can live being a model themselves, being followers of Christ themselves. They have led us, spoken the word of God to us, and we need to consider the result of their conduct or the end of their life, how they ended their life, and follow their faith, or follow faith like them, trust the Lord like them, it says. So we have godly examples before we came to, before I came to CFC, I went around looking for some godly examples whom I could follow. I went around in numerous churches of numerous denominations, and I didn't find one whom I could look up to and follow their example. But when I came here about 44 years ago, I found that these two brothers were something unique, that I could look up to them even though they were in their mid-30s, young brothers, and I was in my 20s. And mind you, they were not meeting in a big church like this with spires and pipe organs and glorious choir and all that. It was just in a house, in Brother Zach's house, a few handful of people. And I decided this is the place for me, this is where I should be. And later on, God gave us a building, and I stuck with them, never once regretted having come to CFC, because I have seen living examples in them. And they preached what they practiced. And that's why I was drawn closer to the Lord and to my spiritual fathers, spiritual shepherds, Brother Zach and Brother Ian. And I now look back upon the life of our dear brother who left us for glory last week. Look back the way he lived his life in simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, with all humility and brokenness. And he never asserted himself, never tried to show off or to dictate or to rule over us, but was an example to us. And it says also in 1 Timothy 5:17, this is all speaking about those who lead us, who are in the leadership, who teach us the word of God. 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. The elders who rule well, and we know that these brothers have ruled in the last 50 years, served rather than using the word ruled, they have served as servants of the Lord well. They should be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And they have ruled well. We all can testify to that, the way they have taught us the word of God so clearly, pure word of God, unadulterated, without watering it down, without diluting it, spoken as it is. Sometimes it has hurt us, and it is good, because it is like a surgeon who cuts open the septic or the pus or maybe some unwanted growth, and then he binds and it will be healed. So sometimes truth hurts. Not sometimes, all the time. Truth hurts. But if we respond to that correctly, it heals also. So those who have spoken the word to us, consider them worthy of double honor. Give them special honor to them, because we don't pay them, and they are not paid, and they don't expect payment. This is one unique thing about CFC, is that none of the elders, about 200 plus elders, whom we may also call pastors, but we don't take that title, none of them is paid. They all work voluntarily and cheerfully all these 50 years in all our churches, and they deserve our gratitude, our thankfulness, and double honor from us. Just because they serve us freely doesn't mean that we can take it for granted. No, brothers, we need to repent of it, if at all we have treated them like that in the past. It's a sin. We need to give honor where honor is due, respect where respect is due. And Brother Ian was one such. We highly appreciate him and appreciated him while he was still alive. He was a very hard-working man. Anything that you gave him, he did it wholeheartedly. He didn't say, oh, you give it to somebody else. He wouldn't delegate it to somebody and shirk his responsibility. He always took upon himself as if it was his family's concern. He was hard-working, he was diligent, and he was full of zeal. You could see that in the way he conducted himself, the way he worked at the tasks that were given to him. And certain times, even when it was not given to him, he took upon himself the responsibility of doing that. And he always went the extra mile. He always did more than what was required of him. And he did not bother about inconveniences. You all can testify to that, how he would be the first one to come and the last one to go, and spend considerable time with those who wanted counsel, who wanted help. He would sit with them and spend considerable time with them. And he was approachable, friendly, and could easily get along with. Never took advantage of people. And he would also enjoy humor. We used to crack jokes with him and pull his legs. And he used to enjoy that. And he was a maximum Christian, not a minimum Christian. He did everything to the best of his ability. And he was a man of details. And he was a man of fine finish. Everything he would give final touch with a fine finish. You can see all that here in this place. All these things, right from the curtains to the building and its aesthetics upstairs, and even the old building, everything he would involve himself and would buy the best material, and has put in the best in everything so that that could last for ages. And that building, old building where we were, we were there for 40 plus years. And you know how strong it was even when we left that place and sold it to, that could have lasted for another 40, 50 years. And you see, this is already more than a decade now. And it is so strong, spick and span, maintained well, all because Brother Ian took care of every minute detail of everything. And sometimes he would sit with people talking to them long hours. And I remember many a time coming and pulling him out of the discussion and asking the other person also to go and have lunch, and I would pull him up, pull him out for lunch, and then I would send him. So he would forget about his food many times, even when he was looking after the construction of this building and the other building. He sometimes went without food, and probably he was so taken up, so consumed, the zeal of God's house, as it were, had consumed him. And Hebrews 6:12 says, Hebrews 6:12 says, consider such people. Hebrews 6:12, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And I believe he has had a glorious homecoming, welcoming in glory. And it's only good for us that we honor such people by following in their footsteps. Imitate or trust the Lord like they did. It says, imitate their faith means trust the Lord like they did in their lifetime. So that is a good verse to remember. And 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, it says, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And sometimes people say, some preachers also say, don't look at me, don't follow me, follow Christ. Sounds very spiritual and humble, but Jesus never did that. Jesus said, follow me. And the Apostle Paul also said, follow me. And also follow those who walk according to, the way that we have taught them. So you can follow godly examples. They are right in front of us. And we have seen them. We have heard them. We have seen how they have lived. And we can be followers of them. We can imitate their faith. And 1 Peter 5:2, it says, 1 Peter 5:2. Here, Peter, being one of the leading shepherds at that time, fellow elder, he says to the elders or the shepherds, he says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, not for payment, but with eagerness, not as lording it over or bossing around those allowed to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Prove yourself to be an example to the flock. That is how they have lived. And we look up to these dear brothers who have gone ahead of us half a century. And it is very rare to see two people working together. I have said that many times. I would like to see if there is any church where two elders of almost the same age having worked for 50 years without any dispute, without breaking fellowship. Very, very rare. I would like to see if there is any church or any brotherhood like that. I'll be delighted to go and meet them and see them. And it's only right for us to give thanks to God for a life well lived, so that nobody could tell lies at this funeral. And let us live in such a way that even when our end comes, the elders don't have to tell lies about us at our funeral. Because most of the people in the world, you see, even if he was a great, notorious crook, at his funeral, people will say some good words about him and say, attained his heavenly abode, or went to the feet of the Lord, or attained the lotus feet of the Lord, and things like that they say. Everybody attains their heavenly abode, but the Bible doesn't say that. When we die, it's appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews 9:27. Then after that, the judgment. And the judgment of the righteous and the judgment of the wicked. The righteous will go to glory to enjoy the presence of the Lord. The wicked will be thrown in the lake of fire. Not everybody goes to their heavenly abode, to their eternal rest. And even these death vans, these hearse, what they say, it's last journey. Of course, it may be last journey, but where we end up finally, that matters. Whether we will be with the righteous or with the wicked. And let us walk in this life, this short span of life that we have, in such a way that at the end the Lord will be able to say of us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Let his challenge be, let his life be a challenge to all of us, brothers and sisters. And my final tribute to our brother Ian is, your presence we miss you, dear brother Ian. Your memory we treasure. Loving you always, forgetting you never. May the church abound with many people like you. The Lord bless his children and their families. Now we will sing a song, and then afterwards we'll hear many others who didn't have the opportunity to pay their tribute on the day of funeral because of lack of time. So we have asked some to take the opportunity to express their thanks and gratitude and pay their tribute.
Yeah, the version of this song, as I remember it, is "Looking unto Jesus, who has gone before." And brothers and sisters, as I think about Brother Ian, he always encouraged, made it possible for us to look unto Jesus, who had gone before. This verse that says, "Remember those who led you, and imitate their faith." And the next verse says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." And that's the word that was ringing in my heart, that Jesus is the same. And what Brother Zach shares, and we've heard from this pulpit and you know, in many ways, many times, what he did for Jesus, he will do for me. And to have that faith, to say that what he did for Brother Ian, he will do for me. And we look unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Yeah, it's good to remember those who led us, to remember Brother Ian. I was thinking of what happened at the tomb of Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5. So at the funeral, we had the body of Brother Ian. And I was thinking of this verse where the women came to the tomb and they were searching for the body and they couldn't find it. And then the angel said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." And Brother Ian's mortal remains were here, but Brother Ian is with the Lord. And he said, "Remember how he spoke to you while he was still on earth." I mean, it says in Galilee, but that's what we should remember. Remember what he said. And he's not there. He's with Jesus in triumph. And it says, verse 8, they remembered his words. Yeah, so it's good for us to remember his words and to seek to imitate his faith. Yeah, Jesus, you know, from the beginning, the first words he said is, "Why do you seek for me?" The first recorded words of scripture that we have when he was just 12 years old. "Didn't you know, don't you know I need to be about my father's business?" If you were trying to find Brother Ian, you know, you would find that he was in his father's business. That's where he was. And even as we, you know, seek to go the same way, we should say, "Lord, I also want to be in your business. I want to understand your purposes and plans. And, you know, fix my eyes on you as the author and finisher of my faith, and you will do for me what you did for Brother Ian." I was encouraged to think about 2 Kings. We can turn there, where it says the time came for Elijah to be drawn home, called to glory. And we know that Brother Ian kept giving importance to the Spirit of God. And it was because of the Spirit of God, as he shared many times, "The love of God is poured out in my heart through the Holy Spirit." That's the sign of the Spirit of God. And there was no place for anything else. And the love of God constrained him to do all he did. And he was hungry and thirsty for that Spirit of God that lifts the veil, that shows us the glory of Jesus. And I was thinking about Elijah, and there were different sons of the prophets, and they knew, and they came and told Elisha that, "Do you know that, you know, Elijah is going to go to the Lord today?" And he said, "I knew, I know." But Elijah was different. He said, "I want that Spirit that is with you. I want that. And I'm going to stay with you." And Elisha said, "This is a hard thing that you have asked, but it shall be done for you." And it's easy for us to be taken up. Even I was taken up with the arrangements and doing things as they should be. But this is the word that the Lord is speaking to me, that seek for that Spirit, the Spirit that I poured out on Brother Ian's life. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says here that when Elijah was taken home, 2 Kings chapter 2, and verse 13, that there was a mantle that fell from him. And this is the longing of my heart, and brothers and sisters, we need many shepherds. As we heard from Brother Santosh also, we need many shepherds in this church. And to say, "Lord, we want that mantle to fall on us. To fall on us. That your work may continue. That your Holy Spirit, that the love that you poured out will be poured out in our hearts as well. And you will strengthen us by your grace." And that same Spirit of God that when Brother Ian spoke, said, "Listen to him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And we all experience that. That Spirit of God can be with us. Yeah, and it says that Elisha took the mantle and he said, he struck the waters and he said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" The God of Brother Ian is with us. He wants to bless us. He wants to lead us. He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit on us. And let's seek the Lord for grace to continue to go this way. So we want to hear from different brothers and sisters. And we want to start with Brother Newton, who has been a co-elder with Brother Ian for many years. So Brother Newton will give us a start. And after that, we want to hear in this order from some couples and some brothers who've worked with Brother Ian closely. So Brother Ravi and Sister Smriti, Brother Paul, Sister Suja, Brother Suchandra, and Sister, Brother Selvam, Brother Jabez. These will be couples that come up. And then Brother John Vijay, Brother Moses. So please come up in this order. Please stick to the time allotted. And we trust that the Lord will speak to us and give us faith.
I thank and praise God for the glorious privilege of knowing Brother Ian for the last 48 years from 1976. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit and full of joy. He was a man of faith and prayer. He exercised many spiritual gifts. The Lord blessed him mightily and made him a blessing to many. He was chosen by God to be the co-worker of Brother Zach in India for the last 5 decades. He had that unique grace and privilege. He was a good shepherd. He was a man of God and a useful vessel in the hand of God. He loved the church, gave himself for the church. He broke the alabaster box of perfume and anointed the body of Christ. He manifested the Spirit of Christ and the fragrance of Christ. He was humble and made himself a servant of all. He made himself available to the brothers and sisters. He was a very good encourager and a counselor. Yet, he always sought to remain in the background. He pushed others forward, including me. He loved the Word of God and blessed the church. And he worked with his own hands and supported his family. In the beginning, he would go around in the cycle doing small jobs. Later on, he would go around in a scooter, and the Lord gradually blessed his business. So he supported himself and served the church in the footsteps of Apostle Paul and Brother Zach. We worked together for many decades in Sunday school, youth, conferences, weddings, funerals, and in so many other ways. We talked and talked for hours, sometimes late night till 12 o'clock. And we were free to express opinion, and we had the freedom to disagree graciously. We were good friends and good brothers. And like Charles said, though he was older than me by 15 years, we had no generation gap. I can say, like David said to Jonathan in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. "I am distressed for you, my brother Ian. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women." Jesus said, "He will hears my word and obeys my word. He who does the will of God, he is my brother and sister." And I can say, by the grace of God, we tasted true love of the brotherhood. And I really praise God for all the wonderful times we had together in serving the Lord and serving the church. And I shall always cherish his memory. Amen.
Three things. What stood out to me most? A man of authority under authority. Just as the Roman centurion Matthew 8 recognized authority, Brother Ian recognized God's authority over Brother Zach's life. He heard the Spirit say, "Here is a man you can submit to." And Brother Ian, by faith, obeyed that from 1974 to 2024, 50 years. Jesus had said about the centurion, "I have not seen a faith so great." And he told the centurion, "Go, let it be to you as you believed." And I believe Jesus said the same about our dear Brother Ian. And Brother Ian saw the miracle of CFC grow from two to few to hundreds to thousands. And God honored his faith and submission. Secondly, what touched me the most was Brother Ian was truly humble and he had tremendous grace from God. And he had the grace to quickly and with excitement recognize the grace on different brothers and sisters. He would mentor, he would challenge, like Brother Newton said, he would push them forward. And how much we're going to miss his beaming smile and the twinkle in his eyes when he would call people forward and highly commend different ones in the church at any given opportunity. And all this while ignoring the countless hours he would put in himself, his labor of love behind the scenes. What I needed the most, and what I need the most, he pointed out, we would go as a couple to him for counsel, and the question he would ask, "Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?" To him it was simple. Bulbs won't light without power. And undoubtedly he was a very spiritual man. As Jesus said, to him who believes, his heart will overflow with rivers of life. And I think Jesus was talking, describing a waterfall. And I felt that was Brother Ian's spirit to us as a church, to us as brothers and sisters. A refreshing spirit like a waterfall. You couldn't pass by him without being refreshed. Thank you, Lord, for this man who was under authority, who was full of grace, and who was led by your spirit for the last 50 years.
Brother Ian practically and profoundly impacted my understanding of what the body of Christ is and how to work together with brothers and sisters in unity. Recognizing that together Christ can enable us to do much better than anything that can come out of me. Brother Ian embodied John the Baptist's testimony regarding Christ in John 3:30, where he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Brother Ian taught me practically to recognize my boundaries, to keep within my boundaries and keep within the grace of God, the grace that God has given me. For me, the photo that remains freshest in my mind of Brother Ian is one where we went to a youth camp in Yelagiri, and he joined us to trek up a hill nearby, holding a stick, kind of like looking like a shepherd's staff. And it reminded me so much of like Moses, who led the Israelites out of the slavery of Egypt to the promised land. And he was there along us, along with us, encouraging us onward and upward to the top of the hill. And I think that's the message that he's talking, that remains with me. Come up higher. God is able to enable you to come up higher. Thank you, Brother Ian.
It's an honor to speak about Brother Ian. And I'd like to share three things that I have been personally blessed from Brother Ian's life and that have challenged and encouraged me. For one, as we always hear, Brother Ian was a man of encouragement. When we used to wait to meet him, especially at DeCoster Square, I remember we would stand in a queue and we would be conscious of the fact that there are many others waiting behind us. But when you reach to speak to Brother Ian, he would talk to you as if you were the only one that mattered and your problem was the only problem that mattered. He made each one of us feel very important. And I'm thankful for the instances where his words of wisdom has preserved me from many a folly. Not just in spiritual areas, even in practical areas. He was an amazing encourager. I remember I had a driving license and I bought a vehicle, but I didn't have the courage to drive. And on one of the Wednesday meetings, after the Wednesday meeting, Brother Ian called me and he asked, "How are you traveling?" And I said, "Uncle, I don't have the courage to take it out." And that day, I remember, I think I can take the freedom to say that he sort of commanded me saying, "Sujay, you're going to take it out tomorrow and drive." That first journey, I remember, was very adventurous. But I'm glad I obeyed him, and today it's been a great help in many practical ways that I'm able to drive, and solely because of him. Even in the projection team, he believed in the least of us. Long back in our Wednesday meeting, we used to have it on the first floor at D'Acosta Square, and it was a very small gathering. And since I was available and I was able to reach CFC early, brother had asked me if I could help with the projection for Wednesday meeting and only for the songs. And I remember that time I was very slow with the computer and I would type with just one finger. And every time I felt like giving up, Brother Ian would say, no, don't give up, keep at it, work on it and you'll get better, he used to say. It was only because of him that I continued in the projection team, and I got into a profession where I had to use presentations almost on a daily basis. And I know that I was equipped here in CFC, even in a simple thing as using a computer. Brother Ian was a man of perfection. Many of us who've worked in some sort of a ministry under Brother Ian would have at least once got a very long mail with a lot of corrections from him as to how we can do what we are doing in church better. And it was never with a spirit of condemnation, but always with a spirit of encouragement. Even in small areas, I remember when he would walk into the hall, he would look around to see if everything is perfect and properly done. If there were little gaps here up on the curtains, he would come and tell us after the meeting, fix those gaps, please put pins and fix those gaps. Brother Ian was someone who taught me that whatever work I did, I should do it the best that I can. Secondly, it is in the area of marriage. We've known Brother Ian and Sister Vicky to be one of the sweetest couples we've seen. And Paul and I were watching a video of theirs last week. And I was telling Paul, will we ever be able to love with the same sweetness of love that they shared? I want to believe that with the power of the Holy Spirit that we can. And I know an important part was played by Sister Vicky. I want to remember my role in maintaining peace in my home and to bring the sweetness of love that we saw in their lives. And lastly, Brother Ian was a man of compassion who loved the church. Many years back, I remember one Sunday when I walked in, I was feeling very tired and I just wanted to go back and sleep. That Sunday, we were celebrating Brother Ian's birthday. And I remember Sister Vicky shared something about him. And one line that she shared really challenged me. And she said that Brother Ian was someone who would never be tired of serving God. And that line really challenged me. And I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, give me the same spirit that I will always be willing to... he was always willing to make himself available for God. He was willing to make himself available for each one of us. And I long that I would have the same spirit. One of the last things that that Brother Ian mentioned when he spoke to the church during the anniversary month was the line, you have been close to my heart and I really want to thank you for what you have been to me. And I thought of that line and I remember that's when he wept, when he was speaking outside. I was reminded of how Paul writes, I long to be with you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. I could see the love for the church in his eyes, and I really want to pray that I and we as a family would love the church as he loved.
Many years ago, when I met Brother Ian for the first time, I was living in a different city. Then I asked him if there was a CFC church in that city. Then he said that there is no responsible shepherd that we can trust and recommend. At the time, I did not understand what he meant by that. But after moving to Bangalore and observing him for the last few years, him and others, I began to understand what he meant. For Brother Ian, it was not enough just to have a church named CFC in any place. It was also important that it was led by shepherds after God's own heart. And he was certainly such a shepherd. At the time of our wedding also, he had just returned from an overseas trip and he must have been very tired, but still he agreed to be at our wedding, and he spoke and he gave a very practical and prophetic message, and I remember that message many times and it is really helpful to me. In the last few years that I have been here, his messages were very encouraging and very liberating, especially when I was going through some rough time in my personal life. So we, as a couple, we want to follow Brother Ian, and as he followed Christ, especially in the manner of praying for others and caring for others. And we want to believe that whatever God did for Brother Ian, he will do for us.
I'm honored to speak about Brother Ian. We both are blessed and encouraged by life of Brother Ian. We took counseling from Brother Ian in practical and married life situations. He listened to us patiently and given the counseling which helped in our lives. Sometimes in the meeting, even before the message starts, by seeing Brother Ian's face itself, I used to get encouraged and lifted up from my discouragement. Brother Ian tries to remember me by my name. That also encouraged me initially. I was surprised to listen my name from his mouth. And he asked me the question, "Are you baptized with the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I'm not sure." And he encouraged me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and told me to have assurance of baptism of Holy Spirit in my life, which is my birthright. And showed me the verse, Romans 5:5, "The love of God has been poured out in my heart through the Holy Spirit which God has given to me." One day I was having many demands on my wife, what she should do and how she should behave like that. And with that burden, and I came to the church. That time he spoke about Isaiah chapter 58, 6th verse and 9th verse. Says, "Remove the yoke from others and remove the pointing finger from others. Then God will hear us." That word is a prophetic word to me and helped me in my personal life. We both are encouraged by Brother Sean's life, and we named our child also as a remembrance as Ian Paul. So we want to honor Brother Sean by following his example.
I feel blessed and privileged to have Brother Ian as a spiritual father to me. When I think or look at Brother Ian, what comes to my mind is a brother who had gentle and humble spirit and received abundant grace with his submission and full of mercy. I want to share particularly two things that from the life of Brother Ian that challenged me and encouraged me to follow in my life. When I was feeling difficult to submit to my husband in the initial years of our married life, the example of life Brother Ian showed me very clearly that submission to the authority brings power in our life. This truth challenged me and encouraged me to submit willfully to my husband and to the spiritual authority in the church. And second thing, Brother Ian's spirit of encouragement in his conversation with me helped me when someone is struggling and comes to share their burdens. Our conversation should bring out the best in others, appreciate them and encourage them to continue to trust the Lord, but to not to tear them or make them feel down by our conversation. And Brother Ian and Sister Vicky's counseling and sharings helped our family life and bringing our children in godly ways. My prayer is that I, like Brother Ian, I want to be joyful and content where God keeps me and to live a pleasing life to God. Thank you, Brother Ian.
Brother Ian was never an elder for me. He was like a father, a spiritual father for us. And I've been really blessed. I really want to thank God for giving Brother Ian for me and for my family all these years. And I just want to read this verse, 1 John 3:1. See how 1 John 3:1 in the Living Bible I'm reading. "See how much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children." Think of it. And we really are. And in NASB it says, "such as we are." I want to really thank God that He brought a person like Brother Ian into my life, into our family life, so that He really guided us in a lot of ways. And the amazing thing is, I was speaking through a lot of brothers in this time, and a lot of brothers and sisters here treat him or know him like our father only. And for each one of us, he was special, because he treated us as a special person. I really, really thank God for it, and I just want to read one more verse, and which was very true of him, and I really want to thank God for it. I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians 2, and it says, you know, you experienced, 1 Thessalonians 2, 11, it says, you experienced it at first hand with each of you. We were like fathers. Paul says this, but Brother Ian was like this. We were like father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God who called us. And we want to really thank God for it. And like a spiritual father, he guided us in a lot of ways. And we want to really thank God. And I want to take up as a challenge to his life as a challenge. Today, as we heard brothers who are sharing before, it is a challenge. And you know, God has given us everything pertaining to this life. I want to imitate his faith, and what he did for Brother Ian, he will do for us.
It's a real honor and a privilege to have known Brother Ian over the years, growing up as a child. And what struck to me over the last 1 week was he had a really large heart. I didn't realize it when I was growing up, but hearing so many people talk highly of him, that the Lord impressed that on my heart, that he had a really large heart. And like we heard, the Holy Spirit filled his heart and enlarged his heart, that each one of us could have a special place in his heart, and that he really made it possible. And I'm really thankful for his life, and especially during our wedding, he spent so much of time counseling me with so much of grace and wisdom, clearing all my doubts, talking highly about my husband. And I don't think I would have got married if it wasn't for his help and guidance through those crucial years. And also another chapter in Isaiah 44, where I clearly remember Brother Ian talking, and during the messages, 44 was one, he would say, "Now hear, O Jacob, my servant." He would say, "Put your name there." And I remember vividly putting my name there and saying, "Mercy, I have chosen you, says the Lord. I have made you and formed you." This really brought such guidance and comfort to my heart, that the Lord has chosen me. And like we heard, many times when we go to him for counseling, during the counseling session, he would ask, "Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?" That really gave me grace to double check on my life. Am I really filled with the Holy Spirit? And go to the Lord for that assurance and ask the Lord, "Lord, fill me again with your Holy Spirit so that I will live for you." And another verse that he would often quote came afresh again in Matthew 12 verse 20. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break." It talks about our Father's love. But that's the same way with Brother Ian too, that even if he found a small floundering wick, he would always fan it up and bring it up to high flames. And I praise and thank God for showing us this life of this godly man. And I want to follow in his footsteps, as it says in Psalm 16 verse 3, "The godly in the land are my heroes." And I can boldly say that he has been my hero. Amen.
I really want to thank God for the privilege he gave me to work with Brother Ian in the construction of this hall. And since we got married, we were Brother Ian's neighbors. There were so many things I learned from him. And one thing I would always like to tell everyone is, Brother Ian was never like an elder who was always ready to give advice to me. He was more of a father, a brother, and a friend to me. When I was in need, I could go and approach him, and he was ready to give me an encouraging word. There was never once a discouraging word I got from Brother Ian. Every time he would always say, "Take it to the Lord in prayer." So even if we sat and had a conversation for 2 or 3 hours, at the end of it, he'd say, "Let's pray," and commit it to the Lord. And that is something that I take personally in my life. That's something that I want to do with my wife as well, and we've been doing it for several years. And one thing I learned from Brother Ian, in seeing the way he lived with his wife, there would be several hours he would spend in the church talking to people, counseling them, encouraging them. Even in the construction of this building, he would spend several hours here. But at the end of the day, I saw an example of how a good husband should be. He would go back home, and he would take his wife out because he was not spending that time with his wife. And he would tell me, why don't you take your wife to this restaurant? This place is good. You can go there. You can spend some time. It's quiet. You can spend some time talking to your wife. So that was something that really encouraged me. It says in 1 Peter 3, 7 verse 8, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir in the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Brother Ian exemplified this verse in his life, and he also encouraged me to exemplify that. And another thing that I really like about Brother Ian is the way he corrected. Brother Ian's correction towards me specifically was, it exemplified this verse which says, open rebuke is better than hidden love. Brother Ian, when he corrected me and rebuked me, it was always open in public. It was never in secret, calling me aside and then correcting me. I felt that was actually a really good thing for me, because I had grown up several years thinking that was not right. And the Lord showed me through Brother Ian's life that open rebuke is good for me, because it kept me in humility. It says in Psalms 141 verse 5, let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. That is exactly what I want to continue to observe in my life. I want to accept correction from anyone. It can be someone younger than me, someone older than me. If someone is correcting me from God's word, I want to be ready to accept it. Brother Ian, help me in that. And as I want to conclude by saying, I want to be just like Brother Ian in encouraging one another every single day. Every time I meet someone, I want to have a word of encouragement, not a word of discouragement, not a word of correction, but a word of encouragement. And I want to take everything to the Lord in prayer.
We saw Uncle Ian's exemplary life shining like a bright light in front of us. And I'm here to glorify our Father in heaven. Truly, he was a shepherd after God's own heart. He was always an encourager, pushing people up. And he believed in the least, like we heard. I had newly come after getting married from Vizag. He hardly knew me, but he was willing to give me the responsibility in Sunday school. I really saw the heart of a father, the heavenly father I could see in him. He was always ready to build people up with his gracious speech and loving deeds. Though he was a perfectionist, we could still go to him and be ourselves and talk to him and share whatever, and he was ready to give a listening ear. When we worked with him in Sunday school, he was always there to make it better for the children and interesting for the children. And for the teens and the youth, he always had a fatherly heart. He would always tell us, have a burden and have the like a heart like a father for them. And look out for the young people who don't have families in the church. That really impressed upon my heart a lot. And as neighbors, we could see Uncle and Auntie Vicky's life. And they would really walk the talk. It's not just hearing from the pulpit, but we saw their lives, how they loved each other. It was such a great example for us because we were newly married, and we really want to imitate that. And in loving each other, in loving others, especially from Auntie Vicky, what I learned is be a godly wife and putting God first and putting husband's needs before me. And I had the privilege of traveling with them several times for Wednesday meetings because my husband would go for work in the evening. So I used to come with them. So I used to have lovely times of fellowship, which I cherish and which I really miss. I've learned a lot from them. I've received a lot from them and from the church. I'm really grateful. They treated me like a daughter, and I'm really grateful for that. They were always willing to listen no matter what. And if needed, they would give a godly counsel. I want to finish with this verse in Proverbs 31, verse 16. Verse 26. She opens her mouth and skillful and godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. This is what I saw in Auntie Vicky. And both of us have experienced from Uncle Ian a godly counsel which helped us a lot. I praise and thank God for their lives.
I thank God for giving me the privilege of knowing Uncle Ian for all my life, since I was born in the church. God gave me the opportunity to observe him closely. When I was young, I used to look at him and I used to remember Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter and Uncle Ian was a carpenter and also a preacher. So I used to look at his work and admire it. But as I started working with him here for the past 11 years, I could see his life closely. And there's one thing that has stuck on with me, which I want to emulate in my life and follow Uncle Ian, is he was never short of words to praise a person. He used to look for small things in a person, even new people. He used to find something good to talk about them when he had to talk publicly or even sometimes appreciate them. I want to follow this of Uncle Ian, what he used to do for people. He used to look at them and appreciate them and be thankful for the smallest things that they used to do. Thank you.
I want to thank God for our dear brother Ian, for his godly life and his example. And the way he has shown to the church what a person of humility can do, whose life radiates grace. And I'm tempted to say many things about Brother Ian, but I want to stick to one thing which really came to my heart, was about the burden that he had for the church. And we know as the church is not just his building. Of course, he had, we know the works that he did for this building. But the individuals in the church and the families in the church, I can very clearly think of one statement that he had made related to the church. This is from, I think, in one of his sermons in Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8, where it talks about the bride of Christ, which is the church. And how the bride is ready for marriage. The lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of saints. And I remember this phrase that Brother Ian mentioned. He said, contribute to the purity of the church. And that has challenged me tremendously. And it has been impressed in my heart from the day I heard it. What Brother Ian was trying to say is, when you come to the church, when you're building the body of Christ, as a single person, you can contribute to the purity of the church. As a married person, as a person having a family, you can contribute to the purity of the church. And that has tremendously challenged me from the day I heard it from Brother Ian Robson. And I like the way I fondly call him is Uncle Ian. And I briefly want to share a small testimony or an incident in my life that happened. When I had the fall, both spiritually and physically, I know Brother Ian came to our home and he took some oil and he anointed, he took the oil like the Bible says, you know, when you're sick, you call for the elders and they will take some oil and pray for you. And he did that for me, and I believe that instant in my life was a turning point for me. I know he prayed for me when I was sick, but his prayer, I believe, is what challenged and transformed my life. And I want to say this, that I can honor Brother Ian by following his words and his footsteps in the way of humility. And this particular thing that I shared, contributing to the purity of the church, that's the phrase that he mentioned and which has tremendously challenged me. And I want to honor his life and his words by being obedient to what I've heard from him in the church. Amen.
Dear church family, we know that if we open it up for all the members in the church, we could continue till the evening, because whomever Brother Ian had interacted, he left a little aroma, and even little children, as they lovingly call him Ian Tata. I remember one day Brother Ian was saying, why don't you take Sunday school children below that mango tree instead of making him sit in the class? And I want to, you know, if you could turn to Luke chapter 7. We heard about the centurion, Luke chapter 7 verse 3. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. And when they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue. Jewish elders had a very high opinion about the centurion. The centurion is such a, first of all, he's a military man, 100 people reporting to him. He was a great leader, but he says he loved the nation, he loved the Jews, And he built a synagogue for the Jews. And the Jews said, the Jewish leaders, elders said he was worthy. But then verse 6, toward the last part, it says, its own words, centurion's own words, it said, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy to for you to come under my roof, for I am a man under authority." So in his own eyes, he was not worthy. So I think of Brother Ian, besides everything else, this is the one thing he stands out, that he was an ordinary man. In his walk, in his talk, in his deeds, in his looks, he was a very ordinary man. We heard Brother Zach traveled to and fro 40,000 kilometers just to because of the respect and regard for him. But in Brother Ian's eyes, he was a very, very ordinary man. And I want to be an ordinary man like Brother Ian, no matter what people say or do not say. And I want to end with this story. It's a story which Brother Georgie Samuel shared in one of the conferences here, and many times I've heard from him the story. There was a hen and a goat. They were friends, and they went for a morning walk one day, and they were talking to each other, "Let's go for a morning walk." And then they saw a hotel, and the hen told the goat, "Let's go inside this hotel and see what the human being, what they are eating." And they walked into the hotel and they saw the notice board or the menu. Okay, appam, 10 rupees. Good. And then it was egg roast, 40 rupees. And the hen like read, "Oh, egg roast, 40 rupees. And then mutton roast, 100 rupees. And the hen felt little, you know, proud and said, "See, we are feeding even the human beings. And it's we who are even, you know, contributing, giving the food for the human being." And the hen looked at the lamb. The lamb was not speaking, but the tears were rolling out of lamb's eyes. And then hen asked, why you're crying? Why you're crying? Why the tears are falling down? And the goat said, "For you, it's a contribution. Yeah, for an egg, for a laying an egg, for a hen, laying an egg is a contribution. But the hen, for the goat, it's a sacrifice. It has to lay down his own life." So there is this verse in 2 Samuel towards the end. 2 Samuel towards the end, verse 24. Chapter 24, verse 24. Last part of that verse says, it says, this is David when Arauna wanted to offer his land freely. David said, I will pay, I will surely buy it from you for a price. For I will not offer burnt offering to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing. So, you know, when in the funeral service, Brother Suresh thanked the family, not only sharing the testimony, but for sharing Brother Ian with us. So he didn't just speak. It was his life was an offering. It was life was a pure offering to the Lord. It was not just a contribution. I've heard many times the brothers used to mention when the church, initially when they begin, the Lord has given this word many a times. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 11, Malachi chapter 1 verse 11, it says, "My name will be great among the nations, and in every place an incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. My name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." So our God is so great, great and mighty, worthy to be glorified, and we should give him all the glory. And he is a great God. He can do great things. And he is looking for pure offering. And he is not looking for great people, but ordinary people. A great God of great love is to do great things. He is looking for ordinary people. So let's, as we, you know, our hearts are challenged, let's pray that the Lord will raise up many shepherds from our midst. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for bringing us to the church which you are building. Thank you for giving us, Brother Ian, as a shepherd after your own heart. We are unworthy to come into this church and to be shepherds like Brother Ian, but out of your great love and compassion, you gathered us, Lord. It is you who started this work. It is you who worked and united Brother Zach and Brother Ian and filled them with the Holy Spirit and built the church. And thank you for each and every one of us who are gathered here, Lord. We know that, Lord, even a little child here is so precious in your sight. And Lord, as we go, we want to commit ourselves into your hand, Lord, without any reservation, Lord. Help us to be remain as an ordinary brothers and sisters, willing to sacrifice, willing to pour out ourselves, Lord, for your sake, for your kingdom's sake. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for hearing. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.